people ask what Omaha means. It's a run play, but it could be a pass play.
We don't have a cow.
We have a lot of young guys. We've committed to a lot of them contractually. You know, none of them have hit their prime or hit their peak, and so that's where the growth's going to come, and we'll see what other opportunities are out there.
They got a few top. So let's hear it again. That's a real deal right there.
Is that Chuck Fletcher?
It was you.
Oh, that's me.
We got the button on Young Tom, don't we?
I'm sure we do.
I know we do. I know we had one before.
Sanser talks about it all
the
time.
There it is.
See, that's the thing with Bob.
No, he wants to meet Young Tom. I'm like, he's gone. He's all grown up.
Bob finds something good, and he will just drive it into the ground. So I can't. I mean, that's why I don't play this because
I think Helmer has that on like speed dial or whatever.
I'm sure he does. Yeah,
funny stuff.
I like my laugh.
I do too.
I do too. It's who you are, man. It's who you are. It could be a run, could be a pass for you.
Could be a laugh.
It's going to be that laugh. That's your style. So we all know who's on with us out of cold Omaha when it's you, because that normally comes out of you at least once or twice. We got this team. They're called the Wild. They didn't get it done again against the Chicago Blackhawks. They sucked.
Worse.
This time it got worse. It went backwards. Swept. Four games straight. Sent them packing.
Never had a lead. I think we talked about this before. And like I said, it's so unfortunate because after that Blues series, I go, hey, this is a great team that is well-structured. They play well defensively. You know, at times there's things with coaching where I'm like, why did he, you know, why was Bergenheim in this series at all? And, you know, why did he do this personal shift? And like I said, I think he knows better than I do. But at the end of the day, he does have a good track record with the young players. And I think he emphasized that. And I think it's fair for him to do that. Keep in mind, he was in Pittsburgh's system, was in Houston when the minor league team was in Houston. I think he knows how to work with those young guys. And that's why I'm confident that Dumble will turn out well. Why Scandella is doing well. Why Zucker's doing well. Why Niederreiter's doing well. And I think Fletcher is right that as much as there's gonna be a dynamic of, okay, when do you tell the veteran players, hey, you know what, you have to have less ice time because I need to develop these guys and put them in big situations, and that's a question they didn't really answer directly. There will come a time when it's tough, when you say, hey, you've done a lot in this league, kind of like what you're doing with Backstrom right now, and say, hey, we got to buy you out and we got to get you out of here because we got to get, you know, Dubnyk signed. We need Dubnyk to play, and we probably need, you know, Kemper to have some backup duty to kind of learn the goaltender position or gain more confidence there. So, you know, time will come, but I think he's right. That's where the improvement will come. I think there's some question I wrote in the story, like, you know, do you bring back Chris Stewart, or is Chris Stewart just going to kind of dog you once you give him a good contract? You know, what do you do with a guy like Kyle Brodziak? I think Brodziak, you have to go back a few years to find, you know, production from him. And at the same time, he understands the game of hockey. He is a veteran presence. What about Matt Cook? You know, where's his body at? And he says, there's a lot of hockey left in me. Well, you know, he's in the mid-30s. He's always played a tough position, and he's always kind of gotten beaten up. At the same time, he's different than he was as a young player. He just seems like a guy who really wants to, you know, help these young players out. And why not have a constant locker room presence who understands the game, who cherishes these playoff runs, who cherishes kind of the good and the bad. So I think there's a lot of decisions to be made for a team that's pretty much locked in. I mean, it's kind of funny. It's a funny dynamic, but they got to get Granlin. They got to get Zucker under contract. Got to bring back Dubnyk, and then from there, it's kind of a free-for-all, I guess.
My favorite thing, Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show always does this thing where he has pictures of hockey players, and then he says, like, what they were most likely to do.
Yeah.
And Matt Cook, they showed him, and he obviously doesn't have a lot of teeth in front.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, Matt Cook, most likely to say thoop.
Yeah, that's funny. I think I saw that bit, and that's, I don't know, I think Fallon's hilarious on late night. And
the best show going.
And most like people don't do hockey. So you guys are him over, well, it's going to be Colbert, right? You know, once Letterman's gone.
But it's not Colbert.
Yeah, well.
It's not Colbert. I mean, it's
going to be
not
him who's, like, as a person, yeah. Like, not as the, yeah. And then I think Kimmel has decent bits. I don't think as a whole he's not great.
But he's on late because doesn't Channel 5 run like old
Jimmy Fallon's
of Cheers?
The best by a long shot. Yeah, Jimmy Fallon can do impersonations.
Seriously. That's
everyone loves him, wants to come on the show with him. All the people that come and sit in that chair next to him have probably asked to come in and do it with him. They love Jimmy Fallon, and their biggest pimp is for themselves, and whatever they're doing is to go and sit in front of Jimmy Fallon.
Did you see that from him? Because I remember in those old, like,
he came from nowhere. I mean, he got he got better and better.
He was absolutely
terrible.
He was
the worst. On SNL, you're saying?
No,
on the previous show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then he just kept getting better. And The Roots helped him.
If you think back, he was in that cowbell episode, and he kept on laughing during it. And you're like, settle down, dude. Like, you're supposed to be.
I thought he was hilarious on SNL, because I feel like he took over for Adam Sandler. They always have that Adam Sandler like type person, which is Jimmy Fallon. And then, but yeah, when he hosted his first night show, it was after Jay Leno. That was the worst thing I'd ever seen.
Bad. Yeah,
I didn't think he was going to make it.
And now his show might be the best I've ever seen.
He's great with guests, like you said, and I kind of wonder about that with Conan, because there's certain bits of his I like as a video game guy. He's really funny when he plays the games incorrectly, and like at the same time, he doesn't feed off the guests as well, and I don't think he gets as good a guest. Yeah. So, I don't know. Fallon, it's just so true.
Well, no one is like Fallon.
Or whatever the heck
no one
can care about that at all anyway. But and the new guy, by the way, whatever the British guy is, who cares?
Why do we keep having British guys on TV?
He's horrible.
I
don't even know his name. The
John
new guy
Oliver?
That filled in for...
No, the guy on HBO is hilarious.
He's great, yeah.
The Late Late Show.
Yeah. I don't remember. I'm not up that late, I guess. Or
whatever it is.
Yeah.
But the guy, the Fallon is it, because he can take a top A-list celebrity and go horse around and play a game on the show.
Where they do the impressions
or they do
the cake thing. The cake thing was
hilarious.
Yes, no, you're right.
Nicole Kidman, unbelievable. Anyone,
yes.
Hugh Jackman, you name it. They're all wanting to play the games with him.
Yeah, no,
that's when you know you got a winning host.
When they sing and he does like Bruce Springsteen and Bruce Springsteen comes out, or when he plays Mike Tyson Punch-Out with Mike Tyson. I mean,
that's great.
It's never ending with Jimmy Fallon. But back to your article, that's all right. Tom Schreier from Cold Omaha 105theticket.com. New article, what can the Wild do to improve this offseason? My question for you is, does the Wild and the organization down there in St. Paul live in reality at all? Because I feel like they believe in themselves quite a bit and basically saying, we have to hope our youth will continue to get better and our youth are going to be how we better this team.
This is what I'll say in their defense. Forwards actually tend to be most productive from 23 to 28, and that's about where their youth is. You know, you look at Niederreiter, 22, Zucker, I think, is 23, Scandella, I believe, is 23. Most of those guys are in their early 20s. You think of what, if Dumba's this good right now, how good can he be if he's done well? And so, and even like a guy like Foligno or Jordan Schrader, like, can they take the Zucker route of being kind of tweener, and then all of a sudden kind of a legit NHL player, right? And like I said, you got to give Yo that. As tough as I've been on him, I think like that's something he's done very well, and that's very important to this organization. So I think with the forwards, he's correct. As to, you know, defenseman, I feel like it takes a while to learn that position, and that's why a guy like Brodin is so brilliant in the sense that he really kind of picked it up at 19 and kind of rolled with Suter. So, you know, I think you're a little bit, you get kind of older defenseman, and then goalies for sure. I think he's right about Dubnyk. He's the right age. He's 28. If you look at Rolison, if you look at Backstrom, when Backstrom was good, Manny Fernandez, all those guys were older goaltenders. So, I think he's right in that sense. There's some question. I know Zach Parise came out and said, well, games could go either way. They never led in that series. You can't go down 3-0. I have more problem with what they did in Chicago than what they did in Minnesota. Can't go down 3-0 in the madhouse. You can't make mistakes like, you know, Vanek throwing the puck across the middle, Suter losing track of Patrick Kane, Suter losing the puck to Hossa. Those are dynamic players, and this was what I wrote. Stop pretending that Vanek's a setup man. He does that, and that's a good part of his game, but you did not bring that in. You need a guy who finishes, who really is there to score goals. So
Vanek's only doing that because he doesn't have any confidence in his shot.
And that's basically
him giving up, and he doesn't play
it's
defense.
It's easier to set people up. He thinks it's easier to set people up than to bury the shot.
You think of Mikko Koivu at the height of his game, and again, look at a player who probably was most productive from 23 to 28 and is tailing off a little bit. Unless you really think he's going to revive himself. I think you look at him, like when he was a good setup, elite setup man, or as close, I guess, as he can get to not being elite, but like that's hard to do. You have to understand where each player is, their tendencies, have chemistry, know how the defense is playing you. I mean, and that's Vanek is fine at that. It's a good addition for a goal scorer, but as soon as you lose that goal scoring aspect, it's not like he's an elite setup man. Don't pretend that.
He thinks he is. And they've got to get that out of his head.
Please.
I mean, that is not why he came here. It was 40 goals. 40 goals is what he's been good for in the past.
Yeah, and now he had 21 total, and he did have a good second half. So I think with Vanek, and I kind of said this with Koivu and Vanek, wait a year before you kind of start start. Because with
I've already waited a couple years on Koivu. He drives me absolutely insane. He was a good player on a terrible team. Once you start getting some talent around
Which
him and around the team,
you think he'd get better because he's a setup man. I think with Mikko Koivu, I think that comes down to if something goes wrong next year, you have to make him part of a trade. And he's
Why
not
this offseason?
I mean, I think it's possible. I don't think they're willing to blow that up. That's a dramatic change for them. And I understand that a lot of people want to see Parisi be the captain of this team. And well, I completely it. Understand that. But I think you have to trade Koivu then. I think you can't have
the guy. Parisi's the one that has this should have the say.
Trade
He's the one that backs it up every single time and probably in the locker room, too.
What you'll notice, too, is if you guys watch the post-game comments, he's the one that sets the tone. If someone is too light and said, hey, you guys had a rough game, he goes, this is not a rough game. This was awful. And there's been times that Edmonton game where they didn't play well. In the first period, he goes, we didn't have a good first period. We played great, you know, great 40 minutes. Games like this will happen. We'll make adjustments. He's the one setting the tone for that, and that's an important thing, at least media wise, and you know, with where you're, you know, communication with your fans. That's what's important for a captain to do, and he does that very well.
He should basically be the coach, too, because I feel like he speaks a lot of what Mike Yost should be saying.
I like the fact that he knows that all years are not the same. There are differences in each and every year. It's individuals against an individual team like the Chicago Blackhawks. There's no real reason why we should think that we should go past Chicago this year just because we have one or two more players. They made changes on their squad, too.
Yeah.
And plus, they kept the elite of the elite on their squad. Those are separate years, and Zach Parise says that in your article.
Yeah, I'll buy into this. First of all, it was a weird shot off of Scandella's, you know, shin that went in. There's a one save Dubnyk made that was great, and then he hit it with, like, the nub of his stick. Having said that, I think he's correct. You could have won. I think they could have won Game 3, to be honest with you. Game 4, if things went a little bit differently, especially at the end there, you could have won. I mean, that's what it could have, should have. I think what Parise's trying to say, though, is that's right. Don't, you know, judge us this year, judge us next year, judge us last year, but don't pretend that this is the same exact Blackhawks team, the same Minnesota team. I think they'll improve. Yeah. I really think Niederreiter could be elite goal scorer. I think Zucker's going to take his game to the next level. You know, we'll see what happens with Scandal and some of these guys.
No question. Tom Schreier, thank you very much. Cold Omaha, thank you very, very much. One of the key things is they've got to get Dubnyk back, too. But that's what the offseason's all about.
I think he will. I think he really wants to come back, and I think he'll be cooperative, and I think the Wild know how valuable he is to them.
We're going to come back and talk about the Wild's offseason, to-do list. And, by the way, do you have anything you want to pimp on your wake-up call on Sunday mornings from 8 o'clock till 10?
I'm trying to think. I don't have my computer in front of me. But, yeah, like I said, it'll be fun. Sam and I have been doing well. We have good chemistry, so it'll be good
I'd say you do.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll talk about it. We want your calls, though, 651-989-9105, to talk about the Wild's offseason to-do list, and we're going to do that next.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket.
There's no secret that I've enjoyed my time here and want to be here, so there's no point in hiding that, and I'd be happy to be here going forward. So I'm certain we'll do everything that we can to make sure that happens. But like I said, there's no point in me trying to hide that I've really enjoyed my time here and want to continue on.
Of course he does. The Dubers. He wants to be back. Part of the to-do list is getting back. That's what we want. Get the giraffe back.
I'm not worried.
You're not worried. Mike Yo's not worried. You better be. I don't know. I think that's the top of my list, though.
Sounds like a Pokemon. Now that I think about it, maybe that's just my generation.
What sounds like a Pokemon?
The
That?
Yes.
Sounds like Michael Jackson.
It is
saying,
Michael Jackson.
Jackass. It sounds like Michael Jackson saying.
Michael Jackson.
Jackass.
Jackass.
Oh no.
So, the Minnesota Wild, the season's over. That was depressing. Swept 4 games by the Chicago Blackhawks. Zach Parise, we talked about it last break with Tom Schreier from Cold Omaha and 105theticket.com saying, you know, it really could have gone either way, which that's why I asked you, do they live in reality down there?
Yeah.
It drives me insane sometimes.
I agree. Like I said, with Game 3, again, you get shut out, and you can't blame it on bad bounces, but I think that game could have gone either way. And 4, like I said, you would have liked to see more urgency kind of throughout the game rather than just that last flurry. But, again, I felt like that was a game that was kind of hard-fought. It was really in Chicago, and you just got to be prepared to go into the madhouse. And it's not like they haven't been there before, and it's, you know, Chicago's a great team. And I think at the same time, Fletcher's right when he says, you know, they dressed 10 players 25 and under, and then Chicago 4. So he's saying, let's play the long game, and let's see how good they are in the long run.
I feel like the Minnesota Wild are right back to where they were last year around this time as we were talking about what the Minnesota Wild should do going into the offseason. And I think, obviously, we talk about re-signing Dubinator, the Dubnik, and he had unbelievable deal. I mean, there are really no other options. That's really why you have to.
Well, you want something you know, too. You know what I mean?
Precisely. Yeah. No, 27-9-2 record to go with a 178 goals against average, 936 save percentage in the regular season through half the season. I think the Minnesota Wild have to re-sign Mikael Granlund, who's a restricted free agent, I believe.
Yes, but him and Zucker are.
And Zucker. We got to re-sign both of those guys. But that going back to why I say that the Minnesota Wild are in the same position they were exactly 12 months ago when we were talking about this, don't you think outside of re-signing their own guys, the guys that they feel important, they have to get a goal scorer?
Yeah, that part's true.
Again, because, I mean, go back to Fletcher trading for Devin Setoguchi, the Danny Heatley deal, Jason Pominville, Thomas Vanek last year.
I think Pominville will score more. Actually, I don't put him in the same category as Koivu and Thomas Vanek in the sense that he's not going to produce. I think he will eventually. I mean, I think he will next year. I think literally he had six less points and he didn't score as many goals. But you think, you know, hopefully Granlund takes that next step. That's going to help that line.
He's got concussion problems too.
You got to be careful with that contract. That's all that means to me is that you can't give him a huge one because that's going to create kind of some tension between the team and the player if they're saying, hey, you know, and it's in your best interest not to be playing. I hope he stays healthy. I really think he is a dynamic player. Otherwise, you have to go get a first line center too. That actually becomes trouble. And those goal scores are hard to come by. I think the only way you do that, and like I said, you got to be careful with your young players, but go to a team like Edmonton and say, hey, I'll give you a player of need. You got to get us back an underperforming guy.
What happened to the younger people this time around, though? For the ones that made the nice run last year when all the veterans were down and injured and whatnot. I mean, it was Granlund, it was Niederreiter, it was
Coyle,
it was Spurgeon, all those guys. And now they weren't to be found as much coming down the stretch at all this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they made a good, nice push from January 15th when Dubes got here.
Yeah.
But where was Granlund? Where was Niederreiter? Where were all those kids that were supposed to have been developed yet another year with some experience from the two series that they had played in the year before? Where were they this time?
I think a little bit of that is ice time, and obviously the expectation is that you have your veterans out there more and that they should score more. At the same time, I mean, this is a great way for a young player to make a name for themselves. I mean, there's no shame. There's nothing wrong. It's not going to create locker room conflict if you're scoring. People are going to be excited about you. For the fans, it's a way to kind of sell your jersey, get your name out there. And especially for players that want to stay here. Hey, no better way to say, hey, you got to sign me long term than perform. That is disappointing. And like I said, I think that's something that could change. Eventually, Mike Yeo might go to his older players and say, hey, you guys didn't show up against Chicago last year, and I need to give more ice time to the young players who are you know, stepping up. And having said that, you can't give them ice time if they're not producing and they're not scoring, obviously.
And for that to all come true and all to come to fruition with Chuck Fletcher and everyone else's vision from the front office to become what they see as the philosophy and their method of doing things, it didn't boil down to execution as well as they would have liked to in that second year. Adding Vanek and all these other kids, that was supposed to be the difference maker.
Yeah.
And it didn't. They draft, and the philosophy, as you mentioned in the article, is what they do very well. The execution fell way short.
Yeah, exactly.
Who does that fall on?
I mean, that is on the players to a certain extent. Obviously, Yo can't go play the game. At the same time, he has to make adjustments, and he was given options. And this is why, you know, in some ways, Mike Yo, the story of him is this kind of catch-22 between, hey, you got Parise and Suter at one point, many young, you know, many coaches throughout the course of, the time they're coaching never get to coach guys like that. So, he gets this great team. It's a great hockey market. He's playing in front of big crowds. And that creates pressure. Hey, you got to get Parise and Suter, you know, to where they want to go. They're not at a point in their career where they can wait around for the playoffs, let alone Stanley Cup and all that. And at the same time, you've given all these young players and all these options. Do you want to put in Schrader? Do you want to put in, you know, Ryan Carter? Do you want to put in Bergenheim? And he has to make that decision. So I believe it's ultimately on the players. They have to go out there and perform and make it. They have to take ownership of that. And at the same time, you know, I kind of wondered why a guy like Schrader, who can score, even Carter has some kind of scoring in him, you know, could you use them a little bit differently? So I do believe that it's on the players first, the coach second, but the coach is ultimately the person who enables the players. He's giving them ice time. He's scratching them or you know, putting them on the ice, putting them in the uniform.
Completely. So. I was banging my head against the wall listening to Chuck Fletcher yesterday in the end-of-season press conference saying, This is how we're going to better the team. Our young guys are going to get better, and we're going to hope for more bounces. We're going to hope for better bounces.
I don't think he should have brought up the bounces. I really don't think so. I understand that on that one play when Dubnyk didn't make the – from the odd angle, I was like, what happened? And then we saw, okay, went off Scandella's shin. In some sense that he should be able to track that puck, and I understand that's a bad bounce, and he's been a good goaltender. And he made that spectacular save. He made a lot of spectacular saves, let's be fair, against Chicago. He made that one and then kind of knocked in the net with his own stick. That's unfortunate, but – at the end of the day, don't blame it on that, because Kane showed up, 5 goals.
Yeah.
Taves showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Hossa showed up. I mean, I think Fletcher should have replaced bounces with, let's get our guys going. And I know you don't want to throw your guys on the bus. Don't do that with young players. I don't think that's appropriate. I think it also kind of screws with their head. But you can go after your older players. They should be secure. They financially are secure. They're secure as NHL players. I think you say, hey, Pominville needs to step up. Parise needs to step up. Suter needs to step up. That's what I think.
And Parise was the one that dismissed. Let's not call bounces. Let's not ask for bad bounces.
And that's in my story, too. Koivu said, don't talk about bounces.
Yeah, let's just not talk about that.
That's the thing. Chuck Fletcher saying we're going to get better. The Minnesota Wild are going to get better in St. Paul, basically on hope and luck. And it just that's why, again and again, do they live in reality? We're running out of time. Real quick, question from Chad and Blaine. Hey, Chad, you're on 105 The Ticket.
Hey, guys, real quick. So I was curious. I understand why he probably started Prosser. He's probably looking for a jump, maybe a little more physicality. But, I mean, they had Prosser on the penalty kill, and the guy's laying on the ground. I mean, where do you see Prosser going from here? I mean, I just don't see anything good coming out of him.
No, I was really surprised by that move, just given that he hadn't played much. And I understand that you're trying to make a change and, as you said, kind of create a jump. That's, in my mind, that's not the right move, and I don't think you should bet on the pen again. I didn't make that decision.
That's the way it goes. Get off the ice. Whenever anyone was on the ground in football,
have him play in like the St. Louis series more and have him play down the stretch more and stuff like that.
Well, you know what? That's there's no excuse in that.
Thanks, Chad.
But anyway, thank you for the call. And we are going to have to take a break real quick here. Thanks for sticking around, though.
Yeah, thank you.
Tom Schreier for sticking around another segment for us. We enjoy his content when it comes to hockey. We got one of our breaks.
Roll
in there with some Ted Nugent, okay? And then Ted Nugent. And then we're going to go with top 10 players in the NFL that need to come back and prove something this year. That need to prove it. Who need to do it the most? And I think you know a few of these on this list. So come on back. It's Mike's break.
What am I supposed to play for you?
You can throw anything on there you want. It's just going to be that kind of segment. How about a little Stranglehold?
That's what you said.
Yeah, a little Ted Nugent, so that's fine. I didn't know if you had it queued up or not. But you did.
I do.
Subject here is top 10 players who need to prove themselves in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
You can give us a call if you might want to try and sort of guess the list down. That's normally what I have Ben do, is see if he can knock down a few of these people. I found this on Bleacher Report. I found it interesting. And so give us a call. Hey, 651-989-9105.
Because I'm certainly going to need help. God knows that.
And you may very well need help. And so we'll just go a little radio roulette until maybe we get to the bottom of this list.
Yep.
Still to go on the show, we have NFL... what did you call it?
NFL scandal trivia, which is coming up next. Jeez. NFL scandal trivia. There's been a lot of them lately.
We'll do that then. That sounds like a lot of fun. NFL scandal trivia.
I'm going to guess Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, there's one for sure.
Yeah.
Obviously, for a number of reasons. He's been out of football for basically a year. Call it a year. He didn't play at all in preseason. He played one regular season game and was done. So a running back, that's a big deal.
Okay. This is going to sound ludicrous because he's been just amazing the last couple of years, but he's old as balls. Tom Brady? I mean, not Tom Brady. Peyton Manning?
Peyton Manning, absolutely.
Well, absolutely.
And I mean, as he said,
that he can still play, right?
Well, I think prove that he still should be out there at all. I mean, with a neck injury, with all the different things that he's done already, is there anything still left? And he says, well, I think there are young 39s and old 39s. I'm in that young group. For sure, he said. I think you have to be very careful just lumping them together all on the same group.
Yeah.
And he says, I think it's all about trying to do your job no matter how old you are. So that's his thought going into this. So it's his 18th season.
Okay, so I would say, since we're talking people that it looks like most of them are older so far, Adrian Peterson, Peyton Manning, I'm going to say Drew Brees.
There you go. There's one.
Only because he didn't have, I mean, the Saints didn't have a great year, meaning
well,
obviously
fell back.
Drew Brees didn't have the best of years either.
And I'll tell you right now, if he's going to prove how good he can be, he's going to really have to turn on the Jets again because Jimmy Graham is gone. Sorry. Yeah. How do they trade Jimmy Graham for a center and a draft choice? I don't get it.
That was a first-round draft pick.
Oh, man. I don't believe they did what they did to Drew Brees. They took away his top target. I don't know how you could have possibly done that. Okay, keep going.
Jay Cutler.
I think he should be on this list. He's not on this list. And, again, I'm finding this on Bleacher Report right now.
RG3?
RG3's not on this list.
Both of those guys aren't necessarily as old and coming to the end of their career. They could be coming to the end of their career, but... In my opinion, I would say Jay Cutler has a ton to prove that
I would
the team
think so.
Almost
I,
cut
look,
him.
I'd have him on this list, no question.
And RG3, too.
Look, you're on the money, right on the money. Right on the money. Now, again, it's NFL stars with the most to prove.
Okay,
in 2015. So, and I think we've already mentioned
Colin
one.
Kaepernick.
Well, Kaepernick, I think, has more to prove than any of those. The kind of money that he got, I definitely think so. Okay. I'll give you a clue. We've already talked about this guy. He's a tight end.
Jimmy Graham.
He's got to reprove. Really? I don't know how that is the case where he's got to prove himself. He was injured most of last year, so his numbers were down a little bit, not much. Huh. I think they were just trying to get rid of that big contract somehow.
Obviously.
But
I think he's going to just let it. I mean, that Seattle offense just got so much better.
I mean, really.
Tyler Lockett, the guy that we were talking about from Kansas State for a long time.
Good wide receiver.
Jimmy Graham. They're bringing back Beast Mode, and they got better. I mean, they didn't have really any wide receivers to talk about.
It's going to be scary.
Yeah.
It'll be scary.
Who else?
I'll give you one. Went to Miami.
Greg Jennings?
These are NFL stars. Don't forget that word.
NFL stars.
They're star players. I mean, these are not...
Well, oh, Ndamukong Suh?
Ndamukong Suh.
Why? I don't get any
well,
of these.
Well, he's got to reprove it's a new team. I don't understand what he has to prove to anyone other than he can play cleaner.
Please.
You got Byron Maxwell, by the way, which is that, again, he goes to Philadelphia, and a great corner, and he got paid big to go.
I would say, just because this, going along with the same lines of the Adrian Peterson situation, Darren McFadden going to Dallas after being a really high draft pick for Oakland and failing miserably. He did have a 1,000-yard season, I believe, but he's got a lot to prove down there in Dallas.
And that is certainly on this list, Darren McFadden. For all the reasons you just mentioned.
How about our guy? If we're talking about a lot of players that have gone from team to team, how about a guy that went from Seattle to the New York Jets and now in the Buffalo Bills, Percy Harvin?
Bang. There's a guy that needs to prove to himself that he can just stay on a team and shut his mouth and quit acting out. Huh. But something is going on behind the scenes that we don't have any idea of what that is.
He's a pothead.
But with teammates and with coaches and with management, he is a pain in the ass. And he's been passed off about 3 or 4 times now already. We already know he's a great player. Off the charts.
Did you say Brandon Marshall had a drinking deal going on today?
No.
Oh, I thought you were talking.
Edwards.
Oh, Braylon Edwards. Yep. Well, I'm going to say Brandon Marshall on this deal because he basically given up by the Chicago Bears, traded to the New York Jets for really nothing.
Correct. I think he should be on that as well. Huh. And he's got issues too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got some serious issues. I watched a feature on him. I think it was a Football Life. Brandon Marshall. And he's gone through a lot. I mean, he has gone through a lot mentally. I mean, with mental health and so on and so forth. Also donated, wrote a check for $1 million for the cause. And I think he's got a lot to prove again yet now with the Jets. He came in from Denver to the Chicago Bears. That worked for a while with Cutler, but that all fell apart.
A guy who's always injured. Oh, we got to wrap this up because we got to get to NFL scandal.
I think it's
Sam
one, this is the one I wanted. Yeah, that's the one I wanted right there. It's Sam Bradford, and we all know why.
ACL. I'm surprised he's still with the Philadelphia Eagles and he didn't get traded for Johnny Manziel / draft picks to go grab Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, well, Mariota?
Well, that's...
Mariota.
However Roger Goodell said
Goodell
it.
Goodell said it
It was
way.
Definitely wrong.
He only had about a year to remember and pronounce the name correctly. Bradford. I don't know what's going to happen. ACL 1 year, then the opposite knee the next year. Within about a month after he took out there, he took to the field again. We've got NFL scandal trivia up next. You wouldn't want to miss it, so give us a call. We need two contestants at 651-989-9105 to play. You'll be given three questions again, all multiple choice. I'm your lifeline if you want to use me.
You are.
I've been part of these scandals. I'm probably in each and every one of these questions somewhere or connected in some way. So give us a call. And, of course, here's the take. We've got the fourth annual Grill Fest this weekend at CHS Field, the new home of the St. Paul Saints. You can get out there and sample grilled foods and summer wines and specialty beers right there at Grill Fest. We'll get you a four-pack of tickets to go over there with your buddies and have some fun at Grill Fest if you can just win the game called NFL Scandal Trivia. Next.
You're listening to 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
Jackass.
Jackass.
Michael Jackson trying to say jackass.
Jackass.
It's hard to say.
Jackass.
Well, here's the deal. We need another contestant to play NFL Scandal Trivia.
We had two contestants, and the second contestant just hung up.
Again, four tickets are the prize down to Grill Fest, where you can test anything that's coming off the grill, sip some wine, check out some of the Festivus craft beers down there, and take in the day. Hopefully it's great weather. It doesn't matter.
It's supposed to be 79 and 80 this weekend.
Sure.
And CHS Field is absolutely beautiful.
Isn't that the new home of the St. Paul Saints?
You better believe it is.
Wow. So, I mean, go on down there. Check it out.
651-989-9105. Call now if you knew it was
good for you. Four pack of tickets.
Oh, my God. Now Kristen just left.
Oh, wow.
Or our phones died. That's why our phones are dead again.
Well, that just happens.
I'm not kidding. The phones are dead.
I know. It always happens. It's always something. Get some new damn gear in here.
My God, the phones are absolutely dead.
They're gone.
But don't worry. They'll come back in 30 seconds.
Oh, we'll be back up, and we'll just get two contestants to play in our little game, and we'll be fine. I love it. Don't you?
No.
It makes our job so easy. You know, it doesn't take that much.
You've got to be kidding me.
You just have to have to do radio, sports talk radio, highlights, a good producer to be able to put all that together, pull some highlights, pull some sound, phone lines, because people normally like to call and talk about sports, at least locally, talk about the local teams. Sometimes people like to call us for prizes and such.
Great. 651-989-9105. Please,
yeah,
dear God.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead and call.
Sorry about
that. We need
two
contestants again. The phone lines were dropped. Oh, by the way, second time today. So we'd love to be able to get a couple people on it because people love to play the games. And they love the tickets and they love all the cool stuff, right?
Hi, 105 The Ticket. Who's this?
Hey, my name is Phil.
Phil, where are you calling from?
Chisago City.
All right, here we go, Phil.
Well, here's the deal. You're going to get three questions. NFL scandal. Trivia. Three multiple choice. I'm your lifeline, too, by the way, Phil. If you need someone to help get you through this crap, I'm there for one take, okay?
I appreciate it.
All right, here we go. Phil, question numero uno. Which NFL franchise was fined $250,000 and lost a first-round draft pick in 2008 for illegally recording other teams for at least 2 years? Is it A, the New Orleans Saints? B, the New York Jets. C, the New England Patriots. D, the New York Giants.
Patriots.
Patriots, correct.
Wow.
Question number two. Plaxico Burress was sent to jail for 21 months after he was charged with illegal possession of an unregistered handgun after he accidentally shot himself in the leg in a nightclub in 2008. Which team did Burress play for at the time? Was it A, the Pittsburgh Steelers? B, the Cincinnati Bengals? C, the New York Jets. D, the New York Giants.
The Giants.
Correct.
I'm your lifeline if you need one.
Question three, Phil from Chisago City. What star quarterback was accused of sexually assaulting a 20-year-old Georgia college student in 2010 and a Lake Tahoe casino worker in 2009? Is it A, Michael Vick? B, Ben Roethlisberger? C, Donovan McNabb? D, Kyle Orton?
Ben Roethlisberger.
I'm your lifeline if you might need a little help.
Three out of three. Hold on, Phil.
I mean, they're so well publicized now. Any of these scandals, everyone knows everything about the bad stuff going off the field.
Of course they do. Kristen, you're back from line two. What's going on?
Oh, not much. Just home after a day's work.
Well, thank you for calling back. Our phone lines were dropped. That's what it goes on around here from time to time. But thank you for calling back. We appreciate it.
No problem. My pleasure.
Three multiple choice questions. I'm your lifeline. You got the whole format, right?
I got it. I got it.
Very good.
Yeah, you're going to love it. It's going to be fantastic. Question number one. What quarterback won the NFL's Comeback Player of the Year in 2010 after spending 21 months in jail after pleading guilty to hanging and drowning dogs while running an illegal dogfighting ring for 5 years out of his Virginia house? Is it A, Jamarcus Russell, B, Cam Newton, C, Mike Vick, D, Matt Ryan?
C, Mike Vick.
Correct.
I'll be your lifeline if you would need any help, but it sounds like you're doing well.
Question two, Kristen. In 2014, second-year offensive lineman Jonathan Martin was harassed and verbally abused daily with racial slurs and sexual taunts about his mother and sister by fellow player Richie Incognito. Which team did Jonathan Martin play for last year? Is it A, the San Francisco 49ers, B, the Miami Dolphins, C, the Oakland Raiders, D, the Arizona Cardinals?
B, Miami Dolphins.
Ooh, that's not good. Last year he played for the San Francisco 49ers.
Kristen. Oops, you could have used me on that one. Oh, wow.
Well, that about does it for you, Kristen. I apologize.
Aw. That was too bad. I could have helped you with that one.
You know, and I should have done that. I really should have.
You were pretty sure, though, weren't you? You were dead certain it was Miami.
Well, I wasn't sure when they traded him.
Oh. Yeah. Well, last year he played for San Francisco. I think he had a Harbaugh at Stanford when he played college football, so I think that was the best fit for him there.
Mm. Kristen, we appreciate you listening to the radio program in the afternoon from 4 to 7. We call it Radioactive Sports. He's the superstar, Mike Morris. I'm a guy by the name of Ben. And we just love you to pieces.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You're
I always
listen
to you guys every day.
Thank you.
Superstar, you held my baby last year at the fair.
No, did I really? Well, that's what I do. I cuddle babies, I shake hands, and I sort of hobnob a little bit. But no, well,
and I'm
very good.
I do the exact opposite. I shake babies and kiss hands.
Nice.
Great. I'm not listening to that part.
Yeah, so you're probably not. Next time you come to the fair this next year, you make sure the superstar gets your kid enough.
Yeah, because I'll protect and watch over.
We get Bob cookies, though, from Sweet Martha's.
I'll try to breastfeed your baby, too. It's just not going to be good.
Yeah. Okay.
That was creepy, wasn't it? Wasn't that creepy?
That was beyond creepy.
Yeah, I think it was.
That's exactly who I am, Kristen. We love you to death, though. Thanks for listening. Have a fantastic evening. Say hi to your baby for Mike.
You have.
Thank you. You're going to breastfeed her baby?
We've got hairy nipples, too. Phil, congratulations. You're going to Grill Fest this weekend.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Can't wait to go.
Because it gets. Did you know the Jonathan Martin, Richie Incognito question?
I did.
What was the last one?
The last question?
You remember what it was? Oh, you threw it away.
I threw it away.
No big deal.
Answer was the New Orleans Saints.
Oh, it must have been something about Bounty.
Yeah. All right, Phil, hold on a second. We got our guy Zach, who's the best in the business. He'll get your information.
Great, thanks, guys.
Nicely done. See how that turned out? That turned out just fantastic.
Except the whole breastfeeding thing. I don't think that went over quite as well.
Maybe shaking babies. That didn't go so well.
Yeah.
That's all right. You might want to go ahead and dress that up a little bit.
It's all right.
Who cares? All right. So, what is next?
Sillier Side of Sports.
I think you got a little bit on that last phone call, but then we'll drop in a true superstar, as we always do at the end of every show, and we'll let you guys go have your dinner then after that, okay? Come on back.
Back to Radioactive Sports. The superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
And here we go. The final couple of minutes.
The familiar music playing in the background tells us that it is, of course, time for the sillier side of sports.
I have quite the doozies today. In fact, quite frankly, I'm surprised that what I'm going to tell you wasn't done sooner. The New Orleans Saints have removed the Super Bowl image from the Superdome that included convicted rapist Darren Sharper's picture.
Well.
Saints executive Ben Hill said,
"It's a good idea.
It's common sense. We don't even want the perception that's an individual we're celebrating.
Or that he ever played here at all.
Well, he's been accused of raping people for a long time now, and finally in March, he pled guilty to sexual assault and was sentenced to 9 years in prison. So, don't hurry to get that removed or anything. My God, what are you doing?
Well,
we were talking about this last fall.
I know.
Take it down.
Might go ahead and just take it down. They wanted to make sure that all the specifics were taken care of, and we knew what we had. And they got what they got. He's pretty much a serial rapist.
Not pretty much.
He is.
He is.
Yeah, and 9 years he'll be back. Jeez. Yeah. How did he do that? 9 years.
I don't know.
Oh, well, what else do you have?
What are we talking about?
You know.
Practice? We're talking about practice, man.
Yeah. Allen Iverson denies a claim made by a former teammate that he occasionally spent $40,000 at a strip club when he was with the Philadelphia 76ers. Here's Iverson. Quote, first of all, it was like $9,000 at the most, and there were never any strippers at TGI Fridays on City Line, he said. He goes, unless I bought them. Sometimes I did buy a bunch, and I suppose in those cases, yes, the bill could get up to $40,000 because back in those days, they didn't have endless appetizers at TGI Fridays.
Wow. Leave it up to AI, man.
I love him.
Practice.
Love him.
Yeah, we're talking about practice.
Love him to death. Daily Mail Online can now exclusively reveal that during one of those times apart, Tiger Woods cheated on Lindsey Vonn.
Gee, I didn't see that coming. Did you? Did you ever read into that?
Oh.
Or did you just think that it was because they spent so much time apart that their schedules just were too conflicting and they decided to break it off? Well, irreconcilable schedules.
A close friend reveals to Daily Mail Online, quote, he had a relapse in the sex department.
Oh, I didn't see it coming. I really didn't.
He went on to say, Lindsey found out about women again, always while he's on the road, just like when he was with Elon. It was after Tiger was eliminated from the San Diego-based Farmers Insurance Classic back in February, somewhere near his old stomping grounds there in Southern California, that Tiger had a one-night stand with a, quote, faceless, nameless woman.
That'd be an ugly woman to do something with no face, that is.
Tiger allegedly confessed to Lindsey Vonn, and that was the end of the relationship.
Done deal. Tiger, come on. Just when you think you got it all straightened away again. You might actually be playing some better golf. Oh.
I feel like what he needs to do is not be in a relationship with anybody.
Yeah.
And just bang as many broads as he possibly can, because that's, in my opinion, when he plays his best golf. When he's banging.
There you go. Randoms. Well, apparently, yeah.
And finally today, in sillier side of sports, not really that silly, but after tearing his ACL during rookie minicamp, the Jaguars' first-round selection in the 2015 draft, Dante Fowler Jr. signed his rookie contract. $23.5 million guaranteed with over $15 million in bonuses. After the injury, many speculated if Fowler Jr. would even get signed by the Jaguars. Being the number three overall pick, they paid him a lot of money.
He's a great athlete. There's only one thing that you can say about that, though. That is just them showing absolute true loyalty to what they thought was a great athlete, and that he can come back and still get it together and play that kind of game again after an ACL. To be back, not only a little bit back, close, he's not quite the same, but he's pretty good still. Yeah. No, they're banking on him coming back and making a full, complete comeback. And the job, the surgery itself will be fine, trust me. They have it down to an absolute science, literally. It's the mental part. Can that guy fly around with that ACL reconstruction and do the things that he once did instinctively? Without worrying about people chopping him, taking his legs out from underneath him, can he still play with that kind of instinct to play the game?
Yeah. Quite the deal. I was surprised when I saw that.
That's a lot of money.
What really can they do? And this is a topic for another conversation. And we should talk about this at some point, but we have to go, about what happens when you draft a guy, you haven't signed him yet, and he blows out a knee. I mean, can they legally, or according to the CBA, not sign that person? But we have to go. We'll be back tomorrow from 4 to 7, another jam-packed show of information and sports fun. Everybody.
Good stuff. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers just won at Celebrity Jeopardy. He won $50,000. So happy for him. We have the true superstar for the day. I have chosen Army Private First Class Matthew H. Walker. He was just 20 years of age from Hillsboro, Missouri. He died June 5th, 2014 in Paquica, province, Afghanistan, of wounds caused by enemy fire. He was assigned to the 1st Battalion, 502nd Infantry Regiment, 2nd Brigade Combat Team, the famous 101st Airborne Division out of Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Again, 20 years old, Army Private First Class Matthew H. Walker is my true superstar. Remember him. Remember that young soldier in your hearts and prayers, if you would. Good night.
The Ticket.